Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the talk show Uplifting Communities, Ohio. And I have your guest, your host, Miss Shekinah Robinson. And she's going to take over from here. Go ahead on, Miss Shekinah.
Well, hey, Ohio, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. I am your host, Mrs. Shekinah Robinson, and I have an amazing guest for you today. This woman has been very powerful in my mirror circle, and I know that she is going to bless you so. I have Miss Sharona Watson here, and I would like you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, Ohio. Thanks for having me on the show. Shekinah, just a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. So I was raised in a hood.
Brooklyn.
Yes, Brooklyn in a house. Yes. Brooklyn in a house. Yeah. So I left there when I was about 19, and I moved upstate New York to Binghamton. I don't know if you've ever heard of Binghamton, New York, but I moved to Binghamton, New York. And that's where I met and married my husband, and we moved on to Syracuse, and now I'm here in Charlotte.
Okay. Nice. So you mentioned your husband. How long have you guys been married?
We've been married for 19 years.
Girl.
19 years. I can't even believe it. He was 20 and I was 24.
Wow.
So,
girl,
yeah, we've been married.
Got you a young one.
That's right. That's right, you know.
That is awesome. So with you, do you and your husband do ministry together? Do you guys have separate ministries? How do you go about that?
Okay, so we do ministry together. Everything we do together. So even when I have to go and do itinerant ministry, let's say a woman's conference, we're still doing it together because he's still praying for me. He's still encouraging me, so he may not be seen physically, but he is definitely there in spirit.
That's beautiful. So he's like your armor bearer and your husband.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yes, he's my number one cheerleader, you know, my number one intercessor. Yes.
That's beautiful. So with you and your husband, what are your favorite things to do to uplift the community?
Okay, so as far as the community is concerned, we spend a lot of time mentoring, whether we're mentoring other married couples, whether we are mentoring those who are considering marrying each other. It may be a single mom who needs a little direction. You know, maybe they're not sure of what career they should get in or what steps they should take to get a house. We are always mentoring people, and people is a big focus. That's our big focus, people as a whole, because that's what is going to change and transform our community, you know, our country, people. So that's, we pour a lot into people in different areas.
That's awesome. That is really significant because there are so many people that are our neighbors or our family or people that live across town that don't know how to get to their next level. It's like, it's one thing to know that you're ready for something more. It's one thing to want your tent enlarged, but it's another thing to have the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding to take those steps. It is so important what you and your husband are doing. That is fantastic. I have met
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, girl.
I wanted to share just this one situation. It was this young lady who came to us. She was in her 20s, and she wanted to meet with me and my husband and just, you know, just get some ideas. And so she came prepared. She had her whole, her goals. I mean, she was fully prepared. And so she's going over all her things or what she wants to do. And my husband said to her, "You're trying to go from A to Z. Let's go from A to B to C to D, because you're trying to get to Z and you haven't even completed B." And so a lot of times people get discouraged because they're trying to go after the long term instead of focusing
they have
in on the short.
Goals.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so we try to get people to zone in on B and C and
That's
stop
wonderful.
Trying to get to W, you know.
That's wonderful. And
yeah.
for all of you who are listening and will listen later, I will post her things on our Facebook page so that you can know how to reach her if you guys are having these same problems. I know that it's common to need mentors. There's nothing wrong with needing a mentor. In fact, it's wisdom and having wise
mm-hmm.
counsel around us. So if you do not have wise counsel around you and you are in a place that you want to get out of and you don't know how to get out of, you got to ask for help. And the first thing in asking for help is knowing who to go to. And so I really am happy that I'm able to present this wonderful woman to you all that you can come to and ask the different questions that you have. Now, I want to talk about how the ministry works with you and your husband. We are all aware that there are some Christians, there are some people that believe that women should not be leaders. And it has been a stumbling block.
Right.
Yeah, it has been a stumbling block for some women because sometimes it's easier for us to listen to the pastor opposed to listen to what God has said. So how did you find your way around that in this time that we're living in, and how does your husband fit into that?
Oh, my gosh. I was going to say my husband, because he does not go against what the word says
yes.
as far as it pertains to women. Right, he wouldn't have it any other way than for me to be on his side and stand by him in ministry. As a matter of fact, he will tell people, now I don't agree with this, but he will tell people, Sharon is more anointed than me, right? I'm like, no, you're definitely more anointed than I am, and you know more of the word than I do. But it's not the heart of the father. It's not the heart of the father for women to not have a place in ministry or not to be a leader in ministry. We see great examples of leaders in ministry, right? And I think sometimes we look at we don't see people as the church, like we are the church. You know, you're looking at the building or the pulpit within the building. We're walking pulpits.
Yes.
We have a platform, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so Esther, I mean, look at Esther, how the Lord rose her up. And Deborah, she was a prophet and a judge. So how can we minimize what women carry, you know?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I want to go to Timothy, because me growing up, every time I have met a man or a pastor or a woman who has said that women should not be leaders in the kingdom of God, they always go to Timothy. I mean, there's no person that's not going to go to Paul to say that Paul said, you know, women shouldn't speak. You need to learn in silence. But I think what people miss is that the Bible is such a complex read that it really is dangerous for us to assume that we understand the perspective, because there's a difference between God the Father speaking, there's a difference between God the Son speaking, there's a difference between the Holy Spirit equipping people to speak, and then there were wisdom. There were things that the apostles told us according to what they thought. It wasn't a thus saith the Lord. It was a, you know what, this is how I would run this. I do not think that women should speak, and that is his right. And that was during the time that he wrote it. But now in 2017, we have these powerful women that do receive dreams that God does speak to. And as a leader, you're not really taking advantage of your team as best as you could if you're leaving people out.
Yep. I mean, why would he have made Eve? It's not good for man to be alone,
yes. Yes.
You know, yeah.
Yes.
So you said you wanted to go to Timothy?
And that means on so many different levels. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So where are you going in Timothy?
Oh, no, that's just what I'm saying. So when people are reading Paul saying that women should speak, should learn in silence, you got to understand that wasn't God speaking through Timothy. It wasn't prophecy. It wasn't a thus saith the Lord. It was a man telling us, this is my wisdom. This is how I would do things with you here. But it wasn't a command from God. And so when we read the word of God, we have to know the difference between advice and command.
Right.
And that wasn't a command. So we have to get out of that place and stop looking at a person's gender or even their age or their nationality and really see what they are, who God would have them to be, because God says test the spirit by the spirit, not the gender by the gender, not the color by the color, not the age by the age, but the spirit. And when you find people that truly have the spirit of God, accept them. But if they don't have the spirit of God, man, woman, child, whoever, then do not receive it.
Right. And he was actually talking to a specific group for a specific reason at that time. And you're right, we get stuck on that right there, and we forget all the other women that God has called and anointed, you know, in the Bible. And it's so sad because I see some women who are stuck in ministry, and they're only considered to be a missionary.
Yeah. What is that, Church of God?
You know what
Christ?
I mean?
Yeah.
Or First Lady, First Lady Elect. You know what I'm saying? I feel so bad, especially when they are supposed to be in a fivefold ministry gift that God placed in them, but they're stuck as a ministry. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, it really hurts.
Yes. And this, for everyone that is listening, woman, man, whatever your perspective is on this topic, it is very important that we understand that we cannot say who God has called. You don't want to get into a place where you're speaking against God's people, because that's calling cold on your own head. So before you open your mouth to say something that someone is not, you need to seek God first. There's wisdom in seeking God first and then speaking later. You don't want to be the other part, because that's what we hear in Proverbs as a fool. And when we're living that way, then it puts snares into our life that we otherwise wouldn't have to deal with. Now, I want to ask you, when did you know that God had called you to the nations?
Okay, so back in 2009, my husband and myself, we were at a conference. It was a leadership conference, and we had gotten a prophetic word, and I remember the apostle at the time, who was a woman, she said that she saw this map, and on this map, there was like these little places in another country, and she saw me there. This was in 2009, okay? It wasn't until 2015, I believe it was 2015, this prophet came to my church, and he called me out by my name and my birth date, okay? And I even put the video on Facebook. Wow. He called me out by my name and birth date. The funny thing is, someone had told me, this guy called people out by their name, and I'm like, all right, well, if he called my name out, Sharana, then I know he really heard from the Lord, because that's just a little bit strange to me.
Right.
I go there the next day. He calls me out, and unbeknownst to him, I was just talking to one of my mentors. She had told me, Sharana, the next time I go to the Dominican Republic, you have to come. Like, the women need to hear your story. They need hope, right? We didn't have the right timing. Like, the Lord didn't give us a timing. So he calls me out. I stand up. He talks to me, and then he says, does the Dominican Republic mean anything to you? And so I'm like, oh, my gosh. Yeah. And I'm pointing at her across the room, and she's pointing at me. And he was like, okay, well, it does mean something. Immediately that day, we started making plans to go to the Dominican Republic. Yeah. Not only that, I didn't have a passport. I didn't have the money. I went and applied for my passport. I got it in a week and a half. The money, I got so much money. People was just giving. People would call me, Sharana, where you at? Text me, Sharana, where you at? Facebook me, Sharana, where you at? They will meet me where I was to get money in my hand. I had so much I was able to give to other people who was going on that trip as a teen.
Yes.
Okay? So that's when I found out, it was a few years ago, that I was actually called to the nations, and specifically the Dominican Republic. He's placed that nation in my heart. I pray for that nation. I sow into that. I send my money, to that nation, because that's the nation he's placed on my heart.
That is beautiful. So in your experience from ministry here in the States versus in the Dominican Republic, what is the biggest differences that you've seen in your ministering there?
The biggest difference. I would say the hunger. Like, people are hungry here.
Yeah.
To know God, but it's on an entirely different level there. It's
so, like,
entirely
miracle
different
level.
Miracles.
Yeah.
And it's almost like your spirit is even more so open. It's almost like you
like
feel your
up.
Level of faith increase. You know, your faith, it just goes to another level. Because I was able, the same thing the prophet did with me when I was here is what I was able to do over there. My faith went to a whole nother level. Even the Zika virus, my husband was over there. He prayed for this man who was dealing with, he had shoulder and arm pain from the Zika virus getting bit. My husband prayed over him, boom. All pain gone. Everything left.
Wow.
Everything that was going on with that side of his body,
you
totally
make a
corrected.
Good point. I want to take a second. I don't want to pass right.
We
got to
call
because... Oh, okay. Okay. So let the caller come on, and then I will get back.
Okay. All right. Let me let him in.
Yeah. That's cool.
Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Hello, caller. State your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. That's okay. Maybe there's a bad connection. They'll call back in. So I wanted to take some time to sit right where we are when we're talking about the level of faith and the things that are happening, because I even with my own husband, I pray when my husband is not feeling well, when he's just not himself, and I lay hands on him and I pray for him, he is immediately better. But there is a difference between someone like my husband and then someone that does not have any faith. So to be healed, there has to be a level of faith. It doesn't matter how anointed we are, but if there's no faith in the person that we are trying to transfer that healing to, it's just not going to happen. And so I find it so phenomenal to hear you say how the healings just happen there. We've heard the same thing about Africa and how there are so many tremendous healings and things that happen because those people are hungry for God. They do not have the same luxuries that we have here. And so they need God every single day.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, oh, I just got paid today, I'm going to be cool for a while. They need him every single day.
Right.
And so for everyone that's listening to us right now, I plead with you to ask yourself, where is your level of faith? Do you believe that you can be healed? Do you believe that your finances will increase? Do you believe that God will enlarge your territory? Do you believe?
Right.
And if you find that you do not believe it as much as you do, then exercise. Push yourself to believe in God in those little things in your life. There are things that you need right now in your life, and I would recommend that you make a list of it and start with the smallest thing, the smallest, easiest thing to complete. Start believing in God to make that happen. And when you start to see those things happen, your faith will naturally increase. But don't be dormant. Because there can be no miracles for a dormant individual. So it's something that we ought to practice every single time. And now we are almost close to midway through the show, and I a little bit want to change gears. I want to talk about love and marriage. This is something that a lot of us really need to dig in and learn. I've only been married 4 years. We still have a lot to know about each other. I know a lot of women who just need some clarity on how to be a woman in the relationship and how to let their man be a man in the relationship. So you've been married for 19 years, and you said you were 24 when you got married, correct?
Yes. And my husband was 20.
Oh,
we only dated 7 months. So he was 19. I was a teenager. I like to say I was a teenager. I'm the But yeah.
That's beautiful. if you could tell your newly married self a nugget, what would it be?
Stop thinking you know everything because you don't.
Yeah.
That is really what I would tell
again.
Myself.
To every woman listening that will listen, just hear that one more time.
Stop thinking you know everything because you don't.
Yes.
You don't. That is what I would tell myself. And I still tell myself that. Because for some reason, us women think we know everything. We think we know the best way to do things, the best direction, the best...
You're right, girl. You are so right. You're so right. And you know what? Now that you make that so plain and simple, if I can think back to the arguments that my husband and I have had over the 4 years that we've been married, I promise you, we can about narrow that down to me just thinking I knew everything. Right? Not wanting to be disrespectful, right? Not trying to be rude, but at the same time, I know let me do it. My way is better. And you know what? I can understand how a man could be like, girl, I need you to just sit down. Can we have a conversation? Can I choose sometimes?
Yes.
Let me. Can I live? Please, just let me be great, right? We got to let our men be great.
Yes.
We just got to let our men be great. So.
Yes. Yes, not being afraid not being afraid of messes. My husband always say, I'm not afraid of messes. Don't be afraid of messes. Don't be afraid that they're going to mess up. You know what I mean? Don't
be
so afraid. And then say that again.
I said you better be the cleanup woman. That's the
You know, be there to support because we just dog them out. We dog them out. We really do.
Girl, I mean, I know she's talking to me, ladies. Is she talking to you too? Yes. we have grown up in the age of independent women, and for many of us, we've had a difficult life, and we had to learn how to do it all by ourselves. And we've seen a single mom do it 9 times out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it made it easier for us to get into this mindset that, like, no, you need to join my boat. I'm not jumping on
yours.
I'm not sharing mine.
Right.
You're going to come ride this journey with me. It's not us. And there's a lot of friction in that because a man does want to be a man, and we need to learn how to let them be that because they will be better then, right? Then they won't make a mistake. Then they will be confident. Then they will go bold. And that's what we want from our men. We want to be so in control, but we also want them to be strong at the same time. It's crazy.
Yeah, we can't have it both ways.
That's right.
We can't say be a man and then we pull the reins. You have to either let them be it, or you're not. You can't have both.
Ain't no half stepping. That's right.
No, ain't no half stepping. No. It's so much pride even with the women like rah 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 independent.
Right.
I was doing this
before I met you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then next you need to be single, boo. How about that?
Yes. If you was doing all that well before, stay single.
Yes.
Because when you get married, it's not
just
about you anymore.
Yes, right.
You know,
that's right.
Not
that's
just
right.
About
and
you.
And my husband and I have really struggled in this area for a very long time, and it's not that I don't love him. It's not that I don't trust him. I believe in him. I would not have married him if I didn't. But it's like when you live with someone all the time, you have to do every single thing with them, it makes it difficult. Then you find out how selfish you really are. Right?
Oh my
God. You may not have known you were selfish before, but now that you have this other person that you're supposed to love and cater to and pray for and be sensitive to, it's like, buddy, I'm mad at you today. So there's that. When it can't even be that way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. The first 3 years of our marriage was not good, okay? Because here I am. I was a single mom, okay? I was in a abusive relationship for almost 7 years. Two of my dads left, so I dealt with a great deal of rejection, all right? I mean, there was so much that went on.
Yeah.
So when I get married to my husband, I'm used to the fussing and the fighting. My husband, my husband is one of the most kind, gentle, calm people. Okay, but I would jump in his face. I'm pointing my fingers all in his face. I'm yelling, what you gonna do? Then I'm going to church praising the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
No, you need to get your stuff together.
Yes.
You know.
God is convicting that heart. Like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I completely understand what you're saying. It's and I just I want to be very clear. You have just illuminated something within myself that I have been. I didn't know what the problem was, but I knew there had to be a root of it. But the I've been on my own since I was 15 years old. I've never had a mom or a dad. My father was killed when I was 11 months. And I've never had family. I've never had support. I've never had anybody say, good job, Shakina. You keep doing it. I've never had that. I've had people tell me what I wasn't going to be, what they assumed that I would be. And so I grew up fighting, in a sense. I grew up fighting to not be the statistic they told me I would be.
Wow.
I grew up fighting not to be like the family members that I see that are strung out on drugs and not doing anything with their life. I've been fighting my whole life that now that I'm married, all I know is how to fight. That's all
right.
I know. And
right.
I brought that to my husband, and the only thing that he wants to do is love me, and I haven't known how to let him because I don't know it. It's foreign.
Right.
And so we find
right.
ourselves in situations where I don't even know why I'm mad. Like, girl, why are you mad? You
right.
have a good husband that takes
right.
good care of your kids.
Right.
What are you doing?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
you have just illuminated a thing that I need to get to the root of so that I can really let that go so that I can be the best woman I can be for my husband.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have to be more vulnerable. It's so funny because when I was out there doing my own thing before I was married, I was all vulnerable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Talking to people and doing all of this crazy stuff, and then I get married, and all of a sudden I want to hold on to my goods. I don't want to give you my
yeah.
whole heart. I'll just see how you do with this little bit. And that's
Bro.
Not what marriage is. You know what I'm saying?
Bro.
You have to let go, you know, because when two becomes one flesh, you
yeah.
know, so you have to be open and vulnerable and let yourself feel the pain of the relationship growing, because there's going to be pain. There's going to be
yeah.
disappointment.
That's right.
You know?
Hey,
you know?
And you have to know how to forgive. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to know how to move on. And I think that I too have had a problem with forgiving, because when you're so used to doing things by yourself and someone comes and then they make a mistake, it's like you illuminate it and make it this deal when
yeah.
without realizing that we are not perfect either. And obviously we're all going to make mistakes. And so if we don't learn how to forgive, how can we keep on in our relationship? You
oh
know,
my God.
It's like with your best friends, we have to forgive even our dear friends.
Yes.
Even though we
yes.
love them and they love us, we are not perfect. And if you can't
right.
say, I'm sorry, and if you can't forgive and I'm sorry from someone who loves you, what are we going
right.
to do? How can we move forward? Because when those,
right.
when that unforgiveness builds up, it gets ugly. And then you start getting mad over stupid things because you stressed out over all that you're holding on to.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. You are absolutely
what,
right. I agree.
What are some techniques that you have learned to use over the years to deal with these things that we're talking about? Because I truly believe that these things affect many, 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 many of us, because we didn't really have fathers there to show us what a man
right.
is supposed to do for us. We had women that showed us what you're supposed to do to provide. And so we are now
right.
in a situation where we're almost switched. We see our men emasculated. They're more feminized than
right.
ever.
Right.
And the women, we've got testosterone. We like that Skittles commercial. Or what is it? That Starbucks commercial. With all that testosterone
right.
that is around. We
yes.
do it too much.
Yes.
So in your experience, what are some good steps that we can take to get back to our role in the relationship?
Okay, so the first thing is, because you made a good point, those who especially didn't have fathers, or maybe their father didn't give them the love and honor and respect that they needed. Maybe they saw their father do a lot of things or whatever.
Yes.
First, you have to realize, even though you know this, but you're still wanting this from your husband. Your husband is not your father. He never can be your father. So taking that pressure
yeah.
off him to be all of this
right.
stuff that your father was not, that's the first thing. The second thing is to forgive before the offense even take place. So you already
right.
know that he's going to do some things that is
right.
going to irritate you, is going to,
yes.
you know, may stretch. Forgive him before that, because
yes.
then it'll be easier to let go. He's human.
Yes.
He is human,
yes.
just like we are human, you know. And
that's
a lot
right.
of times we'll justify what we did, but we don't want other people to justify what they did.
What they did. You
give,
grow, right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Give them that opportunity, you know, to mess up and say it's okay. You know how many times I messed up my bank account? How many times we bounce checks, and my husband be like, Sharon, it's okay.
It's okay, baby.
Sharon, it's all right.
Wow.
So let
yes.
him do that. Let
yes.
him do that. I'm like, well,
oh
what were you
God.
Thinking? What?
Right.
What?
Right.
Why
and you
why
are
did
really
you buy this?
Something. Girl,
yes.
you are really saying something.
You know?
My husband is so forgiving and understanding to
mm-hmm.
me. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, and sometimes I think, like, why can't I be that same way to him? But you're really making this
mm-hmm.
full circle. I just want to take a second to remind the people that you are listening to Uplifting the Communities Ohio with your host, Mrs. Shekinah Robinson, and we have our very wonderful guest, Sharonna Watson. Thank you again so much for coming. I know that we are really giving the people some meat right now. I appreciate you because this what we are talking about right now is really going to break a lot of us free. We're so many of us are trying to be everything, but we want a husband at the same time. And so what
yeah.
this conversation is allowing us to do is realize that we can't even do everything if we want to have a husband. It's okay to relax. It's
yeah.
okay for mistakes to happen. It's okay to be the woman. When you get married, the idea is you don't have to fight anymore. You have a teammate.
Yes.
And we have to learn how to really properly use that teammate. It's like the situation with the pastor not wanting to allow a woman to do what God has called her to do. Well, now you're weakened your congregation because you're not utilizing
Bye.
Your team. And so with our
Bye.
Spouses, when we can't understand their strengths and encourage them and understand their weaknesses, it's like we two flat balls trying to play basketball. It's
yes.
not gonna work. It's just
yes.
not gonna work.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. It is so amazing to me, right? Because we want a partner, but we want that partner. We want our husband to be what we want them to be,
girl,
right?
Yes.
And not allow them to be who God created
who
them
God
to
has
be.
Called them to be. Yes. Yes, that is so true. I have really had to take a step back and think who do I want my husband to be and who is my husband? Because
mm-hmm.
when you sit down and you have that conversation, you realize that
mm-hmm.
you try to marry someone and make them into what you want
yeah.
them to make instead of just being okay with who they were. And the thing is we
yes.
love our guys, we love who they are, but we're trying to make them superheroes. And
yeah.
and you made a good point, trying to really turn them into our dad and our lover. We
yeah.
want them
yeah.
to provide to us what we never had. When
yeah.
the reality is it's easier if you get your healing before you get married.
Yeah.
But sometimes
yeah.
it's your husband that helps you get your healing. But when you go through it that way, it's rough. It's like
right.
butting heads.
Right. You know, and I also would like to encourage women, and I don't just want to be picking on the women, but hey, we're talking about women right now.
Yeah.
But you
yeah.
know, we have to also learn to take care of ourselves today as we did
yeah.
the first day.
Good.
The first day we went
right.
on
like
that
when
day.
Your hair was always done.
When
yeah.
your hair was always done and your breath
yeah.
was always fresh. Okay, we need to go back to that day right there, and they'll be like,
yes.
"You need to take me how I am. You love me how I am."
Right.
No, boo boo. He
right.
want your hair combed. Okay,
oh my God.
Put a little
you
lip gloss
right.
on.
Like,
paint your
how
toenail.
How we gonna keep the romance? How we gonna keep the romance? And we running around the house looking like Madea. Don't
exactly.
want that. No,
yes.
take
sweaty smelling
off.
Scarf and you know
yes.
flour all over your house dress.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
be
yes.
that toy because men love toys.
Yes. That's right.
Men love
That's
toys.
Right. So when,
he want
when
wife.
When he walks through the door, you want
right.
to look different every time.
Yes.
You keep it fresh. Like I was
mm-hmm.
just thinking the other day how fun it always is in the beginning because. Mm-hmm. Everybody, both parties are on their best behavior.
Best behavior.
So
mm-hmm.
it's fun. It's alluring. It's like
mm-hmm.
romantic. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
the fire dies when nobody's trying to be on their best behavior.
Right.
We just doing whatever we want to do, babe, I want you to keep doing what you did to make me fall in love, and I in return
right.
do that too. You know, like,
right.
it's important to have that us time. Like, with me and my husband, we have three small kids. We've been married 4 years. I've been pregnant 3 of those 4 years. So
Ooh.
We have a 3-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 1-year-old.
Ooh.
And, yeah, girl, yes, yes. And we're figuring it out and along the way because, I mean, we've had kids so early, so we didn't even really get a chance to continue to develop our relationship without
right.
the entire family. And
right.
so we're finding unique ways to spend that time together, even though we have the kids,
right.
because kids are not an excuse to let the fire
right,
go
no.
in our marriages. You know, like, we need a healthy, happy marriage for the kids, right?
Right.
Like, I want to see my
right.
baby, see him tap that booty a little, you know, like,
yeah.
we just a little playful. Show the baby.
Right,
you know,
right.
Show the baby some love, how it really should be so that they don't
right.
grow up and gravitate to unhealthy relationships.
Right, yeah, and you have to keep falling in love. You ever hear people
yeah.
say, well, we fell out of love, I fell, listen,
okay.
you have to make a,
okay.
make the decision, right?
right,
you decide what you're
That's
going
right.
to do. I make it, I've made the decision that I'm going to continuously fall in love with my husband.
Yes.
I'm going to continuously fall in love with him. Okay,
yeah.
I'm. That's a goal to continue to fall in
yeah.
love with him because it's easy
yeah.
for things to become mundane. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Stagnant
sure
water
work,
stinks.
Church, everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You keep doing the same old things. No. So I have to switch it up. I'll stare at him and I'll go back to that moment so I can feel goosebumps
yeah.
all over again. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm intentional about.
Yeah.
the health of my relationship with my husband. We
yes.
have to be intentional. Don't
yes.
let life just go on by and doing this. No, be intentional about investing into your marriage. You have to.
Yes. Yes.
You have to.
That's so right. That's so right.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't open up a business and then stop doing what you did to open it. You don't invest in a company. You don't invest in a franchise, and you don't hire the right people to manage it, right? You it's like
mm-hmm.
some people really assume that when we get married, we no longer have to do anything. When the easy part was saying, I do. But
mm-hmm.
after
mm-hmm.
the wedding is when the real work starts. And and this brings us into my next question. You and I were talking about this before and what a high percentage rate we have in divorces.
Mm-hmm.
And I
mm-hmm.
truly believe that it has a lot to do with the culture and
mm-hmm.
the us not growing up in two-parent homes where there was a marriage. So we've never seen anybody stick it out.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do see is people trying over and over and over again. It's like
mm-hmm.
Little Red Riding Hood or who is the
right.
girl who ate the porridge? Like, oh, no, not this
yeah.
one. That's too cold.
Yeah.
This one's too hot. When we cannot deal with holy matrimony that way.
Yeah.
It is something that
yeah.
God honors. So we cannot treat our husbands and wives like a boyfriend and girlfriend.
You
Once
can't.
Once you say, I do,
right.
that means till death do us part. That means if I can't
right.
stand you on Wednesday, I'm going to forgive you by Wednesday night and try
mm-hmm.
it again Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
But when you continue to let time go, you start to hold so much, and it's hard to come back.
Yeah.
You can. You sure
mm-hmm.
can, but it's hard.
Right, right. Yeah, you're definitely right about that. You know, I think we give ourselves too many choices, you know. Well,
yeah.
I don't want to be in this anymore. I don't,
yeah.
You know. No,
yeah.
listen, stick it out.
That's right.
Stick it out. You know, if you want to be
right.
good at anything, be good at your marriage.
Girl, yes. Because we go to work every day and perfect whatever our job is so that we can keep
Exactly.
We keep
exactly.
going to church every Sunday to play whatever yep. role that we play
yep.
there. It takes
yep.
effort and energy. And then
mm-hmm.
we come home and we have nothing for our spouse. They get
mm-hmm.
the worst of us. Everybody else gets the best.
Yep.
We're smiling,
yep.
happy, got a word for them,
mm-hmm.
encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get home and nothing? Cricket?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we
mm-hmm.
need to reevaluate. Because God
yeah.
says that it starts from the home in, right? We
yeah.
can't even minister if our home isn't right. How can we?
Right.
A deacon can't be a deacon. His house is not in order.
Yeah.
So we have to learn how
order.
To keep our houses in order. So what
yeah.
what advice would you give to someone listening that is on the brink of letting their marriage go, or that's in the midst of so much chaos that they don't know how it's going to turn out.
You really have to find out what is the purpose for the marriage. What is the purpose, right? Love alone is not enough. There has to be a purpose for your marriage. The purpose for my husband and myself marriage is so that we can impart into people together. It has to be your purpose. You have to find your purpose, the reason for you two being together. Okay, discover what that is. Go after that together, and whether it's to build a business, a laundromat, you know, whether to have your own taxi service, whatever that thing is, discover
that. Two are better than one.
Right. Go after that thing together. So I would definitely, that's what I would encourage them to do,
that's
to
beautiful.
Find a purpose for the marriage,
that's
and
beautiful.
Then go after that.
That's beautiful. And I really want to take the time to encourage you all that got married before seeking God, and maybe it seems like you're in a marriage that's just mishmack. This is a time for you to soul search, ask questions, play 100 questions. Ask them questions so you can really get to know them again. Maybe you don't really know your spouse. Maybe they don't really know you. Maybe you guys thought you knew each other, and you really don't. So take this opportunity to be on your honeymoon again. And even if they're not treating you the way that you want them to treat you, you need to treat them the way you want them to treat you. Because as women, especially to the women, as women, we have so much power that we misuse. And if we would take that power and put it under first the submission of God so that we can encourage our husbands, we would see better men than what we see today. Because an encouragement could be the only thing stopping your man from being a millionaire. Encouragement could be the only thing stopping your man from treating you the way you want to be treated. But as a woman in the house, it is our job to carry peace, to carry empowerment, to carry wisdom. Because it was a blessing to him to marry us. But in order for that to truly be a blessing that he can cash out on, we have to exhibit the characteristics of that Proverbs 31 or of Ruth. But when we're running around here acting like Jezebel, that's not a blessing. Look, the word of God says it's better to be on the corner of a roof than to live with a contentious woman. What? And let me tell you, sometimes that word has cut me deep. My God. My husband should be on a roof somewhere right now, the way that
I'm
acting. We really have to take that word of God and live it.
My husband used to go around the house and close the windows, because I'll be yelling at the top of my lungs, flipping mattresses and cutting up. Yeah, I bet you he wished he was on somebody's roof.
All right, my Lord. Where was that path to the roof that man was at? What? The blessing in what you and your husband has been through is you being here right now and every word that you will ever speak to any woman that you will meet and encourage, because you can't preach about something that you haven't been through.
There is
an anointing at the end of the trial, whether it's your marriage, your children, your job, your finances, your health. There is an anointing if you make it through. If you allow that fire to refine you and not to burn you, then you have something to speak about. So now you're here and giving wisdom to women who maybe want to give up or are ready to get married. And if there is someone on the line or that's going to listen later that is at a stage in their life that they want to get married, they're there, or maybe they're even engaged and they know who they're going to marry, what is some realistic advice that you would give them to prepare for the long haul?
Well, one thing I wanted to say, because I was thinking about this as you was talking, I was thinking about the ones who are desiring to get married, or they're right before that point of getting married, and they're feeling broken, like they're feeling broken, or they have these secrets, these things, because you don't want to go into marriage without all of these secrets, okay, because you don't want the wrong person unraveling that thing that you try to lock away. I want to encourage you to be honest with yourself and be honest with them. Before my husband and I got together, I was healed of an incurable sexually transmitted disease, okay, that I contracted through the guy that I was with, all right? And it was embarrassing. And I was at a women's conference, and the speaker called it out. She called the disease out. I ran. Ooh. Okay, probably almost knocked the woman down. I didn't care. I didn't care who saw me. I wanted to get healed. I wanted to be free. And so I was healed. I felt the disease leave my body. And so when my husband and I, before we got married, I remember the day I was on the phone with him. I knew I had to tell him. I had to tell him, although I was healed, he needed to know. And I told him, and he was like, oh, well, I don't care. You were healed from it. But I just want to encourage those of you who are holding those secrets, who are broken, whether you're male or you are female, okay? Yeah. If it is the Lord, your soon-to-be spouse, okay, they will be gracious enough. And if they're not, and you think they are the one, and they're not gracious enough to love you through it, you say bye-bye, because you want
someone who's
going to be loving and gracious enough, you know, to take you. Now, I'm not saying you broke it and you want to remain broken and you just want somebody to be, you know, dealing with your brokenness.
Right, no.
I'm talking about when you are at that place of becoming whole and you want to let them know. So that's one thing that I wanted to say. And the next thing is just as much as you possibly can, let go of the pride. Let go of what mama, grandmama, auntie, whoever done told you about men. Let go of what your brother, your uncle, your daddy done told you about women.
Yes.
Okay, and find out through the word of God what he says about man, what he says about women, and go according to that. Because we get so blinded by what we see in everyday life or what people has told us. All men are dogs. No, they're not. All men are not dogs. All men are not dogs. So, you know, just some practical things, like erase all of that stuff that Johnny did to you or that Suzanne did to you, okay, and let this be something fresh for you.
That's right. That's good. That's really good. And get someone like her, some wisdom, wise counsel. Do not listen to, like she said, all these people in your life, especially if they're not married and successfully.
Exactly.
Those are the wrong people to be getting advice from. If you're getting advice from your single friend, maybe you're not mature enough to be married. Or you need some wise counsel around you, because when you have everyone in your relationship, it's not going to last. They want what you have, many of them. And they give you terrible advice because they don't want to see you have it, or they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to be a wife. So if you're going to be the first person, I was one of the first people in my family to get married, not common in my family. And if it's the same thing for you and you don't have a lot of married people and successfully, then you have to start separating yourself from them and get people in your life that are happy and married and thriving. Before we end, Mr. Brown, do you have any questions that you have for Mrs. Sharana?
Ooh, Lord. You guys bring music to the soul. I'm listening to that virtuous woman. You know, I mean, gosh. What can I ask after this? I mean, you know.
Glory to God.
You know, but I must say, there's a lot of men's out there, you know, should listen to this, you know, this talk show right here, to really see, because you guys bring in truth. You know, a lot of men's don't get that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? A lot of women don't do what you guys doing. Shakina mentioned, if you support your husband, if you don't support your husband, she said support your husband. But if you don't support your husband, well, then you could be missing out.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, I really do think is a lot of ladies they have had multiple relationships, and they never healed from a lot of the relationships.
You're so right.
And they get into a relationship with a decent man,
and
the relationship don't last. And there's a lot of men's is the same way.
Right.
You know, because I've had some bad relationships, really bad relationships. I've had some to where, as though, you know, I was cheated on and things of that nature. And I don't do it anymore, but at one time, if I've met somebody, well, you know, they have to tell me where they go.
Right.
You know, if they go into the store, I start calculating time.
Right.
You know, well, it don't take that long to go to the store.
Right. Less than 2 hours. Where you at? Right.
Yeah. You know, and I think that men have to be, you know, on their best behavior too, and they got to, you know, give a woman a chance to be that virtuous woman, rather than to accuse her, rather than to, you know, like I used to do. Checking the time if they gone to the store, see how long it taken. You know, if they gone, like, you know, the store is right down the street and they gone, you know, for an hour and a half, what then stinking thinking start creating, you know, because of what the man done been through.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's good. You bring a good perspective. You bring such a good perspective.
Yeah. You know, so it's not all the time the women.
Right.
That's right.
You know,
so a lot of
time is the men also. So men have to be a little bit more lenient and understanding toward women.
Yeah.
And, you know, and calling women, you know, out of their names. And,
right.
And want to fight them.
That's right.
And all of that
it's our job to be virtuous, and it's a man's job to love us like the Savior loves the church.
You can't
love your woman that way if you're not encouraging and supporting her.
Right.
That's right.
Right. And listen, Shekinah, if you ever would like to get a male perspective, my husband's perspective, have him on your show. He will definitely to the man.
Yeah, you know what? I was just thinking we need to have a male perspective on the show. Done. We'll definitely set that up. I would love to do that. That would be awesome.
Mhm. Yeah. They do need to hear a male's perspective.
Yes. How to be a good husband.
Right.
Be a good husband.
How not to spoil your wife. Just like we shouldn't spoil our husband.
Yeah.
They shouldn't spoil us either, because a bad man can turn a good woman bad, and the other way around too.
Listen, men used
to
come to my husband. When we lived in Syracuse, New York, men used to come to my husband and say, "How do you get your wife to respect you?" He's like, "I don't get her to do nothing. I don't get her."
Right. That's between her and God.
Okay. I'm loving her. She respecting me. We good.
That's right.
Doesn't get me to do nothing.
That's right.
Because I know that when I sin, which is, you know, my attitude towards my husband, me not doing what the Lord told me to do, I sin against God. It ain't even Randy.
Girl.
I'm sinning against God. So my desire is to please the Father, right?
That's right.
So if my desire is to please the Father, it doesn't matter what Randy is doing, because the Lord is going to take care of him, and I've seen him do it plenty of times.
I'm trying to tell you, even if you have a cheating husband, and I want to take this time to encourage some women who are married to men who are not doing right by them, cheating, even if he is abusing you, you take that to the Father. You need to watch War Room if you haven't seen War Room and learn how to war. Get yourself a quiet place, whether it's a closet or wherever, and start putting up scripture that says the opposite of what you're going through, and begin to profess that out of your mouth on your knees. You will begin to see your husband's heart soften towards you. You will begin to see God deal with him. And when he comes back to you to apologize, receive him, because this is what you have asked.
Yeah.
Wow, Mr. Brown, did you have anything else?
I told you that the marriage
topic is my topic. Love it.
Yes. Yes. This has been great.
No, you answered that question because that was the next question I was going to ask Miss Sharana. Of, you know, let's say a woman, they got a lot of good women out here, you know, that really want a good man, you know, a good husband. But when she is, and there's a lot of guys out there, they portray to be good, you know, for at first, and then once they're in a relationship a year or two, well, then the true colors come out. You know, they want, you know, they find, you know, they lazy, they don't want to work, or if it's not that, they don't want to, you know, they cursing their wives, or they hitting on them, or whatever. If they find, if a woman find a man like that, regardless, sometimes she can pray, you know, but sometimes the prayers is not answered, you know, as fast as you want it to be answered, and they could destroy her for the next relationship
if she's
going to. Now, what would you do in this situation? Would you tell them, pack up and get on out of there? Or stay in that relationship and continue to pray?
Are we talking about marriage or just dating?
Dating, marriage, it don't really make a difference because abuse is abuse.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
You know, my husband and I have counseled people, you know, and this is the thing. Are both parties willing to change? That's the number one thing.
That's
the number one thing. If
the
parties are willing to change, you can work with it. All right, we've counseled couples where the wife cheated. Counseled couples where the husband cheated. Counseled couples where the husband slapped the wife. Okay?
Yeah.
All types of different things, right? But it all boiled down to, were they willing to change?
Yeah.
And so if Mr. is bashing your face in, leaving out, coming back, bashing your face in, I'm not going to stay. You're going to pray for from afar. Let the
That's
Lord
right.
work with him from afar because you don't want
That's
Mr.
Right.
to bash your head
you
and
die.
Death.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So we have to be sensitive to that. If he's cussing you out constantly, you know, you may have to separate yourself from him, let the Lord deal with him or her, whichever one. But we've counseled both. We've ministered to both. And you do have to be careful. And that's why you don't just want any man and you don't want just any woman. You want
to
make sure it's who the Lord is wanting you to be with.
That's such a good point. And for all of you listening, it is so important that you make sure that the person you are going to marry is who God has for you. Because if you don't, then you will get in the situation where you're going to have to leave them. And it doesn't have to be that way if you just wait. That's not to say that your God-sent man is going to be perfect, because my husband isn't perfect and I'm not perfect. But I know that man is for me. I don't have to worry about him cheating on me. He supports me.
Yeah.
But we still have to grow as people. But it's worth it because you know that ending is going to be worth it. But when you're trying to sleep with the enemy, there is no good outcome.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you have any last words for our guest, Ms. Sharana?
Say that one more time. I didn't hear you.
Do you have any last words for our guest? We're going to be closing out in about 2 minutes.
My lasting words, for one thing, I want to say to you first, Shakina and Mr. Brown, thank you so much for having me on the show.
You are so welcome.
Truly, truly enjoyed it. There is hope. That's the last thing I would like to say is there is hope. Things can get better. You know, don't become so bitter. Begin to let go. Begin to forgive.
Yes.
Walk in forgiveness before the offense even happened. You know, be open to what God is trying to say to you, you know, and enjoy life. We only have one life to live. Enjoy it.
That's right. That's right. Glory to God. Thank you so much for coming on. This has blessed my soul, and I know that everyone that is going to listen to this is going to be blessed as well. You are such a powerful woman of God. You guys stay tuned. We will be hearing from her husband. I'll let you guys know when we'll get that situated. Mr. Brown, do you have any last words?
No, I don't, but I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the show. I really learned a lot.
Thank you.
This is awesome. Well, thank Thank you, girl. I will talk to you soon. To everyone, thank you for tuning in to Uplifting Communities Ohio. I'm your host, Shakina Robinson, and you can catch me here next week, same time, same place. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Good night.
Okay. Good night.